You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Chicken. It's all in how you say this word, and in a minute it'll make sense. And I really don't know what the etymology of this word is, other than it's a bird of some kind. But as you remember as a kid, if you were afraid to do something, what did somebody call you? They didn't say you are a chicken. They just say chicken. And what I want to talk to us today about is fear. And just from knowing the people in this room, and some of you I know a lot about, some of you I've never met, don't know anything about, some listening to this message, you know, it's amazing, no matter how confident you are, sooner or later, fear raises its ugly head and tries to scare you. And the enemy comes along, and through circumstances, whether it's legal, family, financial, and just tries to rattle you and literally, and this is an interesting phrase, scare us to death. Now think about that word. I felt scared unto death. I was scared to death. There is some fear that literally you think you're going to die. It is so overwhelming. Your heart stops or it races and you think, if this doesn't go away, I'm not going to make it. This is going to kill me. That's so much fear. And there are people who live in fear, and I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to hit a bunch of verses, and as usual, I'm going to try to go left to right through your Bible. Genesis is the first book in the Bible, and I'm going to give you lots of scripture today. I think it makes a lot more sense to tell you what God says and what I think, so we're going to see what God says about this. But it's interesting that if you start reading Genesis chapter 1, 2, and you get to 3, there is no mention of fear until chapter 3, and there is no fear until there was a fall. And when you are rightly related to God, as Adam and Eve were before sin came along, there was no fear. They had no reason to fear. They walked and talked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. They had nothing to fear. They had God with them. Now, the advantage to being a Christian now, after Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection, is that you don't just have God with you, you have God in you. And what I want us to see through the scriptures today, it's one thing if you walk into a room with bodyguards and with angels or whatever your protection is around you, but when you walk into a room with the God of the universe in you, then whether anybody else sees that or not, the enemy knows he's there. The devil who tries to scare you, the spirit of fear that tries to come on you, he sees who's inside of you. Now, if you've put Jesus on a shelf somewhere and said, you know what, I like you being Savior. I like the fact that I've got a ticket to heaven, but I'm going to drive my car now. I'm going to run my life now. You just sit over here by me, and we'll go where I want to go, and if I need your help, I'll ask for it. The devil sees that and says, well, Jesus may be your Savior, but he's not your Lord. You're running your life. Then he'll try to scare, he'll try to scare you pretty bad. We'll just leave it at that. Now look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Adam and Eve had sinned. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And again, it's not like God didn't know where Adam was. He's asking Adam for Adam's sake. Where are you? So he said, listen to Adam's response. I heard your voice in the garden. He had heard that every day. And I was afraid. Now, why was he afraid? Because I was naked and I hid myself. Before sin, he didn't know he was even naked. But when he sinned, he discovered that he was naked, and what that caused was fear. I was afraid because I realized I was naked. Most of us, if you look at fear, is somehow tied in a lot of ways to being exposed somehow. One of my great fears growing up, I grew up as a pastor's son, sixth generation pastors in my family. And I had this shell around me. I had this crust around me that looked religious. I could smile. I could wear the clothes. I could talk the talk and fool a few people. But the thing that terrified me was if anybody ever figured out who I really was or who I really wasn't, I'd be exposed. And that made me afraid. Because if they knew what I thought and what I did and where I went and who I really was, they'd find out I was not what I reflected, what I was claiming to be. And I'd be ruined. And there are a lot of religious people out there who live in this way, and they are keeping a front up. They claim to be all these things, but inside they're empty. They're basically afraid. So Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? And somehow, guys, fear is tied to disobedience. If you will walk with God and talk with God and obey God, you will be amazed at how little fear you can get. You may get hit with it, but it bounces off of you because you say, I know God. God lives in me. I know who I am. I know who He is. Why would I be afraid? But when you get out from under His arm and His wing and His covering, now you got reason to be afraid. And a lot of us live out there too much of the time, and fear comes, and you have reason to be afraid a lot of the time. Because you've gotten yourself out somewhere away from the shepherd, away from the flock, away from God's providential care, His sovereignty, where He is right there covering you. All right, turn over to Psalm chapter 3. It's a short psalm. Let's just read verse 1 and following. This is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no hope for him in God. God's not going to help you. See, it's bad enough to have fear on the inside, but then you have people mocking you on the outside saying, what are you kidding yourself? God's not going to come through and do anything for you. There's no God, or if there is one, He's not interested in your little problems. You're sunk. There is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Now look at verse 6. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Some of you got only one person who's against you. David says, you know what? If 10,000 people come against me, I got no reason to be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is with him. I will not be afraid who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. And if you go over and read, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about, it commands to put on the armor of God, and it talks about putting that armor on in the context of prayer and not necessarily fighting, going into battle. It talks about standing. Now, let me try to give you a visual thing for this week or today when you get hit. You say, God, all right, you're God and I'm your child if I've received this gift of eternal life. So you live in me and you want to live through me. So you're going to save me from an eternity separated from you in a real hell. And you're going to control my life if I let you, I'll make you Lord. So you're the boss, I'm yours. And you step out into your day and you stand there. And the devil comes along with some thought and says, well, what are you going to do if this happens? How are you going to pay your bills? What if she leaves you? What if your kid doesn't come home? What if you lose your job? What if you lose the court case? And he starts hitting you with all those fears. Guys, don't focus on the fears. Focus on him. And I'm telling you, if you'll just start praising him, the devil's got to back off. And you say, Father, well, isn't that interesting that the enemy would point that out? But you know what? I don't care if 10,000 people come against me and they surround me and they think they're going to crush me. They can't touch me because you live in me. And you start talking about what you don't have to be afraid of and about who he is, not who the enemy is. And I tell you what, guys, they'll back off because they realize they're not going to get you. They can't get you because you exercise praise and you step out in faith and the enemy's got to back away. So verse 6 again, I don't know if you underline your Bible, but I highly recommend it. You'll need this stuff sooner or later. Underline verse 6, I will not be afraid. You say, well, I don't believe that. That's your problem. Psalm 27:1, a psalm of David. Now listen to this stuff, and if you can, memorize it. Because you don't always have the book in your hand, but you can hide it in your heart, and that'll protect you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now think about one of your basic fears, and I still have this one. I hate to admit this stuff, but every once in a while I still get hit with this. I can walk out in my backyard in the light of the day and not think anything, but you turn all the lights out at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to ease out there. Why? We are afraid of the dark. Basic thing. We are afraid of the dark. And we're afraid of what? Death. The dark and death. And I'll read you a verse in a minute. There are people that live around you that you know, and maybe it is you, who are terrified of dying. We spend billions of dollars trying to put off death. Creams and all this stuff. Of course, men don't use those, but yeah, they do. I've seen some guys hiding, putting them cream on, all that stuff. But look what he says. The Lord is my what? My light and my salvation. You're afraid of the dark? He's your light. You can't get in the dark with Jesus because he is light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So who am I going to fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But who are you going to be afraid of? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 2, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. Now listen, when he says this, one thing I have desired of the Lord. Now that's narrowing it down to one thing. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high on a rock. He puts you in a safe place. He puts you in a high place. If you're a little kid, I have a 6'9" dad, and I can remember it being a little bitty guy. You get up high and you get up on his shoulders, nobody's going to mess with you. Now, I can remember part of my fear, and this is kind of personal, when you have a father who is that big and he is strong, and when he spanked you, you got spanked and you didn't want any more of that, things like that. There was a certain part of me that feared my father, and that kind of was hard for me to translate to God. But on the other hand, there wasn't anybody I felt safer with, because he'd kill or lay down his life for mine. And if you're a parent, a father, a mother, you have a father who not just would lay his life down for you, you've got a father who did lay his life down for you. And he let his son live and die, be buried and raised from the dead, so you could live not just forever, but so you could not live here in fear. And if you're living in fear, it is not God's plan for your life. And if you are living in fear, then go to these scriptures over and over and say, God, enough is enough. Maybe I am going to die, but I'm not going to live in fear till it happens. And maybe I will go bankrupt, but I'm not going to live in fear if it happens. I'm going to live one day at a time, trusting you, whatever you say. Let's keep reading here. Verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And by the way, if you get afraid, start singing. Something happens when you start singing. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, he's quoting God, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. In the New Testament, he promised he would never leave us or forsake us. So that's nailed down. If my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of mine enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Turn to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, verse 2, my enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, underline it, whenever I'm afraid, what does he do? I will trust in you. See, we get hit by fear, we're terrified of what's going to happen, and we take control. We say, okay, I got a problem, I'm afraid this is going to happen, so I'm going to fix it. You don't fix it. You say, Father, I can't fix it. I can't fix my body. The doctors, they don't even know what's wrong with my body. I can't fix it, so I'm going to trust you, God. Immediately, when you get afraid, say, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm going to trust you, God. And you start moving it this way, not this way or this way, moving inside or reaching around you, you go to God with it. Verse 4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity and anger? Cast down the peoples, O God. And he goes on describing what you do. Verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now all these people who are against you, you feel, and threaten and persecute and claim this and that and talk about you and backstab, what are they going to do to you? Let me tell you something about the book. The truth always wins in the end. You say, well, they're telling lies about me. The truth always wins in the end. And it may not be in this life, but I'm telling you, there's a day coming when the truth will come out. And for some, that's not a good thing. All right, look at Isaiah 41. Go to the right just a little bit. Isaiah 41, verse 9. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Verse 10. Fear not. Now, why is he saying to them to not be afraid? Fear not. Why? For I am with you. And the New Testament would say, for I, if you're a believer, not just I am with you, I am in you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you ever feel like you can't even stand? You're so afraid, or you're in so much trouble, and you just think you just got to sit down. It literally says here that he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's like when you have no strength and you think you're going down, God himself takes his hand and says, wait a minute. And he picks you up and he holds you up and he says, I've got you. I've got you. You're going to be okay. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Just a few more. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says this, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How do you tell whether you're a child of God or not? You live a life that's led by the Spirit of God, not by your own flesh. You don't do all the time what you want to do. You do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. You are led by the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit, as Galatians 5 talks about. Verse 15, for you did not receive, now listen to these words, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is described as a spirit, and what that spirit does is lock you up, imprison you. And there are people listening to me today, you're not just afraid, you live in fear. It's like your cell has fear written over it, and you've checked yourself in, and you're not afraid here and there. You live there. You are afraid all the time. And some of it's insecurity, whatever the word you want to use, but it's fear. It's being afraid. You don't have to live that way. And he says, I haven't given you this spirit. You haven't received the spirit of bondage again to go back to being afraid. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I think it's an Aramaic word, Abba, that literally we would say dad, or some people may use the word daddy. And when you've got the God of the universe living in you and his Holy Spirit there, he's given you a spirit that tells you you have been adopted into this family. You belong. He is your father. You can pick up the phone anytime. You can walk in his room anytime. And the picture I have of this is the Oval Office, the president, the most powerful person on the planet. And if he's my dad and I'm a little kid, they can be having whatever kind of meeting they want to have. But I know that's my daddy. I bust the doors open, come running in the room, and everybody stops. And they look at the president and they look at me. Well, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to take care of the kid. That's my son. And we come crawling up to the door. I hate to bother you, God, but I know I haven't been here in a long time and everything, but if you decide to go talk to him, push the doors open and say, you know what? You and I both know I've screwed up and I'm wrong and I'm sorry and I'm back and you are my father and I got problems. And I don't say they're all going to be gone today, but we're going to work through this and I need your help and I got nowhere else to go. And everything I've tried on my own is not working and I am back and I need your help and you promised you'd help me and I don't deserve it and I know that, but I'm here anyway. So take care of this. You can cry out to him, Abba, Father, Dad, you got to help me. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I am in God's will. Now think about what I just said. We talk about God's will, but I have been written into God's will. Now, what has to happen for a will to be executed? Somebody's got to die. Somebody died. See, you think you're waiting on somebody to die and get some inheritance. He already died. The will has been executed. You are in God's will if you're a believer, and you've received all the benefits that come from being in His will. Everything that Jesus has is yours. Everything that's in heaven is yours here. Now, if you're not writing checks on that account, that's your problem, not God's problem. If you're not living the life He's made possible for you, that's your problem, not His problem. Now, it is His problem because He cares and He loves you and doesn't want you living in fear or whatever you're going through. So get in the house. Draw on the account. He's your attorney. He's everything. Hey, look, I understand. I inherited a bunch of stuff. I want to know what I got. It's in here. This is the will. Read the will. And He'll show you what's available and what you've got coming. All right, one more. 2 Timothy 1:7, turn to that. And I would memorize this. It's not a long verse. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And this is what he says. Underline it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the devil comes along now this afternoon and walks up to you and literally says, hey, how about some fear? Could I interest you in some fear? How about a spirit of fear? Anybody want a spirit of fear? Oh my gosh, yeah, I think so. You're right about all that. Yeah, I'm not going to make it probably. I'll take some of that. And oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And he gets you all freaked out and afraid. Or he offers you the fear and you say, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. Because every time you offer me that, I remember that God's offered me power, love, and a sound mind. The ratio's 3-1. I'm going to go with the power, love, and sound mind. No thank you. And you walk away. You say, well, it's not that easy. How do you know? If you've been taking the fear your whole life, you don't know. And you are surrounded by people for whatever reason they're afraid. You may be one of these people, but you don't have to be if you choose not to be.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
If your ultimate fear, guys, is of dying and not knowing where you'll go, I can get rid of that one in about 2 seconds and help you pray a simple prayer. Let's do that. Let's bow our heads and pray. And if you're one of these people, you're not scared of just dying. You're scared of living. It's just not working your way. I'm going to give you as simple as I can how this deal works. You pray a simple prayer. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I have screwed up. I know it and you know it. And I deserve whatever I get on my own. I'll never be good enough to get heaven. But God, I believe all this stuff about you and your son Jesus Christ. And I believe that he is God, that he came, he lived a perfect life. He died a perfect sacrifice on the cross. And he shed his blood to pay for me and my sin. And they buried him. But you raised him from the dead, Father. And I believe that he paid my way, that he purchased a place for me in heaven, and he offers it as a free gift. And right now, I receive that gift of eternal life, and I ask you to come live in me and through me and to change my now and my forever. I thank you for loving me, God, and for confirming in my heart that I am now your child, not by purchase, but by adoption. That I don't have to be afraid to live or to die. I just have to trust you and let you live in and through me. Thank you so much for loving me, Father, and for coming to live within me. And Father, I pray for the Christians who already know where they'd spend eternity. I pray today, Lord, that the fear would flee as we submit ourselves to you and resist the devil and know that he's got to go and lay our lives down and let you live in and through us the way you desire to. Father, thank you that Jesus lived and he died to not just save us from eternity separated from you, but he can save us from a life separated from you and save us from ourselves and our sin. So do that in many lives, Father. Give us the confidence in who we are in you and who you are in us to stand, and when all is said and done, to still stand. We love you, God. We thank you so much for loving us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.